Good evening. This is K2BAR, club station of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. This is the Thursday night TechNet, conducted weekly. Before we get started, are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Okay, nothing heard.
Wait, one moment.
Gordon, W2TTT, your net control for the evening. Our nets are conducted weekly on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Purposes of exchanging technical information of any kind about amateur radio. We have a wonderful hobby of amateur radio with many complex components, many interesting components, and technology is a bit in the eyes of the beholder, so we encourage anybody to participate with any question. No question is too simple or too complex, as we always have the time and patience to figure out what the question might be, and worst cases, we'll come back to you another time with a more detailed answer if it's beyond the scope of those participating in that to answer. The Bergen Amateur Radio Association runs other nets during the week. On Mondays, we run a 10-meter net on 28350 upper sideband, and any licensed amateur is welcome to participate if they have the privileges to do so. That's at 9 p.m. On Tuesdays, on 443.100, another repeater of the Bergen County FM Association, that net is on Tuesdays, uses a 141.0, or subaudible tone, if you will, to access the repeater, and is welcome as well to any member or non-member alike. And then finally, the regular 2-meter net is on 146.79 in Paramus, also with a 141.3. And again, any amateur member or not is welcome to join as long as they have the privileges to do so. And finally, this net on Thursdays, as we mentioned before.
KF2ID with K2BAR for the TechNet.
Yeah, I haven't taken net roll call yet. I will in a second, Ben, but thank you. In any case, to sign into the net, I'd like you to simply give your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment or above. We ask amateurs who might not have questions or comments to also sign into the net because they may become useful resources in helping answer another amateur's question and helps in the control direct questions that might come about to a more competent person than self here. So, with that in mind, our first check-in will be KF2ID, Ben, and do you have a question, comment, or none of the above? Ben, go ahead.
I have a question about how to stand by for the rest of the check-ins.
Okay, Ben, very fine. My question. Any station with a kilo at the beginning of their call sign, please call K2BAR.
KC2AWX, the name's Harvey in Furlong, New Jersey.
Harvey, very good. KC2AWX, do you have a question, comment, or anything else other than that?
Yes. I have a problem with my headphones. It plugs in onto the bottom of my 706. So I found a patch cable that has the J45 connector on it, and I found a little plastic feed-through, and I hooked up my microphone on it. Well, it works on 2 meters FM and sideband, but it doesn't work at all on HF. It does all kind of funny things. The radio makes all kind of noise. But right now, on 2 meters, it's perfect. KC2AWX. Now tell me, what happens?
All right, Harvey, let's just, we'll get to the questions in a moment. we have to take the rest of the roll call first. Is that all right?
All right, no problem.
Okay, very fine. Any other stations with a kilo at the beginning of their call, please call K2BAR.
KC2KXV, Vinny.
Hey, Vinny, thank you for that phone call, by the way. KC2KXZ, do you have a question?
Yeah, I have a question about Isotron antennas when we get to the question part, and it's great to be listening here on the net.
Question about Isotron, very good. And the other Kilo stations, please call KTBAR.
K20, Jim.
Jim, any question? No?
Not right now.
Okay, very fine. Check your mailbox, Jim. Got a an email package of a, you got a 3-meg PowerPoint sitting in it. At least one copy, anyway. Yeah, I should advise any station before we continue with the call. If you have PowerPoint, or you have the PowerPoint viewer, the ability to display it, please let me know. I'll make sure that I email you a package for tonight, because I actually have a present. The net. You probably hear my son downstairs playing video. I can actually hear him through the monitor this year. It's frightening. He's two floors away. Anyway, so if anyone needs that, I'll just need a mail address. Just tell me that, just a mail address, and I'll just use your call. I know I've sent it to Joe. To, so, any other Kilo stations, please call K2AR.
KB2LCA, Gary.
Hey, Gary, very good. Any questions, Gary, or comments?
Yeah, do you want to do this now?
Quick topic.
Oh, okay. No, I was, I have a monitor scope, and I don't think it's working quite right. It's not clear. The brightness and the focus is fine. It's just that when I send a signal in, it's like washed out. You know, it goes from like a very thin line, and it, I guess, modulates up to, I don't know, about 2.5 inches wide. But it's really fuzzy in there. You can't, it's not really clear at all. But anyway, I was just going to talk about that.
Okay, that's fine. So, monitor scope, not clear, washed out. We'll get to that. Any other Kilo stations, please call KTBAR.
KC2, IGJ, John, question on filters.
John, question on filtering. Very fine. Thank you. On to the other Kilo stations. Okay, any whiskey stations, please call KTBAR.
W4DSA, my name is Daniel, and I'm just listening in, and I don't have any questions tonight.
Okay, W4DSA, thank you, Daniel. Any other whiskey stations, please?
This is W2JEK, Don, no questions, out.
Evening, Don, W2JEK, thank you very much. Any other whiskey stations? Okay, at this time, November stations. Any November stations, please call AR.
NS2K, Jim. No question at this point.
Okay, we're two stations. I got NS2K, Jim. Good evening, November station.
Well, I just need to turn on my power. N3CRD. I could get over the other guy there.
Nice, Charlie. N3CRD. Question from you?
Nope, just listening.
Okay. We're going to have to get your email address as well, okay? Any other November stations, please call KTBAR. Okay, very fine. Any Alpha stations, please call KTBAR. Okay, last but not least, any station not signed into the net at this time, please call KTBAR. Okay, next thing I need to do really quickly, if you would like your email, like your the package sent to your email, for I'd like your call sign at this time. I'm gonna call your call sign, and you either tell me ARRL or you give me your email there and then. Write it down. While we're handling the other questions, I'll send out the package to anyone else. KF2ID, Ben, do you have an email address other than ARRL, or do you want to?
Forget it. It doesn't run.
Oh, I know why. No, I can fix it. Never mind, Jim. I know why. I sent out the Office 2007 version. Sorry about that. I can fix that. Ben?
I have an email address. Don't particularly want to give it out to you. I like keep email. Don't particularly want a package. I'm kind of busy with a number of things right now, so I'll pay a thank you.
If anyone would like the package, please W2T@att.net. W2TangoTangoTango@att. Do you have an ARRL address and just want to see, like, Harvey, do you have an ARRL?
Yes, I do. ARRL. at my call sign at that address.
Okay, let's keep it simple. Yes or no. K2ZO, you have an 804 address?
Affirmative.
KXV, do you?
Negative.
Give me your email, please, Vinny.
It's radio at vinnyvision.com, VinnieVision.com.
USL, vinnyvision.com, very good. Okay, KV2LCA, Gary.
Yeah, at HQ there.
Itaworld.net, okay, very good. YGJ, John?
ARRL, affirmative.
Okay, W4DSA.
I think I'm going to pass on the PowerPoint file this time.
Received, thank you very much, Daniel. WJEK.
And, good. What is the PowerPoint file? What is this thing? Was it in Cortale? I don't know. I'm not familiar with what you're talking about, Robert.
Yeah, I'm sending out some graphics to go with the portable station presentation I'm going to do.
Now, what do I need to download it? Can I do like a PDF? What do they call that?
No, actually, it's PowerPoint.
I really don't know if my computer's set up to accept that, Gordon, so let me just pass on it over.
Okay, do you have an 804 address?
Said I was going to pass on it, so you might as well just forget about it for me, Gordon. It's W2JDK.
Okay, Jim, NS2K, you have an 804 address, I already know that. N3CRT?
I just sent you an email at att.net.
That's fine. That's a beautiful thing. Okay. Then I will take care of that. In the meantime, we have five questions on the queue. Our first questioner is going to be KF2ID, who's keeping us in suspense as to what the subject is. So, Ben, over to you, K2BAR.
Okay. I will be traveling overseas, Israel, actually, and I expect to take my 7,000, the power supply, and the antenna tuner. I'm going to be hoping I'll be able to do this, but I'm hoping to be able to do this. Now the question is antenna. They all want to take a whole roll of wire with me too. So I figure I'll be able to get some twin power cord in Israel. They have I'm sure they have the usual type of power cords available that you can, power cords that you can kind of take apart and, try to build a dipole with it, using power cords, a transmission line, and, tune it. And I was just wondering, number one, assuming that you're going to go overseas and you wanted to make the antenna there, but you're not going to have any ham radios in the neighborhood, you're just probably going to have little electric supply or hardware stores available. what would you think of as an antenna? Use of HF, I figure. Let me drop out for a moment.
W2AKR repeater.
Door to homes is not very big, and land is not very big, so I'm not going to be able to put up any 80-meter, 160-meter. That is, that's out of the question. So it'll have to be something from 20 meters on up, 20s, and then you could buy 20 and 10, and so forth. So, and I can't want to spend a lot of time and a lot of tools and all that kind of stuff. I can string something up to have a backyard. I'll be able to string something up on that fence or something. So I was wondering what, and I don't want to make anything elaborate, you know. So I was wondering what people have for suggestions. I could use just a straight random wire length. That's another approach, but I thought that dipole approach might be a little bit better. And I wonder if anybody else has any other suggestions in that area. KF2ID.
Yeah, okay. Well, a couple of answers. You could bring a manual tuner, and just as you say, get a wire and make sure you just bring a jumper. You could borrow somebody's AH4 or buy one and have an automatic wire tuner for that random wire thing that you were talking about. Another thought that might be quick and dirty and get you going is get yourself a one of those MFJ, I forget the model, but they have one that has not only an SWR meter in it and an antenna tuner, but also has a 4-to-1 balun in it, so it'll load wire antennas that are balanced as well as unbalanced. So if you ever want to do the unthinkable and just run the zip cord up and then split it, just hoist up the split point up with a piece of rope somewhere into a port, you could do that. There are any number of things you could do, but that would be, I guess, the simplest. The other thing, if you really want something resembling a dipole, bring a tape measure and, let's say, 50 feet of coax with lugs on the end, and just twist the wires together, and I wouldn't even bother taping them or anything. Maybe bring a roll of tape just for convenience, but fundamentally, you just get those wires you're talking about and just twist them onto the end of the without coax end and give yourself a measured dipole for whatever band is appropriate, perhaps 20. I gotta say, though, one thing, 20 meters, it would probably be worth your while to bring some wire already cut for a dipole for 20 meters and be done with it. 40, if that's appropriate, if you have enough space, but certainly 20, maybe 15. You can always use the 20 meter wire on 10. Let's see. Anybody else want to make comments? We have a rather wonderfully talented panel here, so rather than toss it at somebody and put them on the spot, anybody want to make a comment on Ben's suggestion?
KC2AWX, yes. Ben, I personally know that there's about a half a dozen ham stores located near the new and old bus station in Tel Aviv. And if you want to find out, get on to the website for the Israel Radio Club and ask for 4X6 Kilo Juliet, and he could tell you exactly where to go and who to talk to. KC2AWX.
Anybody else?
W2JEK.
Don, go ahead.
Yeah, Ben, this is W2JEK. I went out to Arizona with my daughter was living at the time, and I had made up a dipole. First, I made up a 20-meter dipole with some small insulators on it. Then I added some insects, and so it would be long enough to be on 40 meters, and I used a clip lead to add the end sections when I wanted to operate on, say, 40 or 15 meters, which I didn't have a 15-meter rig at the time. I took out two QRP rigs, one for 20 and one for 40, and only had the antenna about 8 feet above the ground. This was in these homeowners association communities. And I just had this thing strung up. I did bring a roll of coax with me, and hooked that up to the antenna, and as I said, it was just supported by the porch roof on the patio that they had, and that's how I operated with that, and I worked coast to coast with it from out of Phoenix, Arizona, URP rig on CW. So having a dual band antenna like that might be too hard to do, and I use speaker wire, so that isn't too bulky to handle. And just lightweight insulators. You don't need great big monsters unless you're going to run the time and run some real high power. Just a small insulator should do. Maybe that'll help you, Ben. Back to net, W2JEK.
Okay, anybody else want to comment?
N3CRT.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Okay, I'm good for poking around on the internet as we're talking here. So I just went on MFJ's site. Two viable options, taking into mind what Gordon said for a balun or, using a wire or, maximize your capabilities here. The MFJ 971 is $100 and it has the balun and it'll tune coax and it'll do a bunch of stuff. It's got an SWR meter and it's kind of nice. Also for $139 is the 904H, and it's a little bit different. It has a selectable meter. They all handle up to like 150 watts, so you'll all be good. Back to the net, N3CRT.
Hey, anybody else? That's good.
They check it.
W2BCR, got you. Do you have a question?
Oh, Gordon, just checking in.
Very fine. No problem. Anybody else?
It's a K2AMI. Number one, a late check-in. But number two, if you just type in antenna calculator into Google, you can get to a very nice website, many of them, that'll actually give you a simple step procedure to calculate the length of the antennas. Antenna calculator is a antenna length calculator or something of that order will work fine. Okay, K2AMI. Listening with no other questions.
Very good. Anybody else with some responses? Okay, Ben? Hope that helps you, KF2ID.
Okay, yes. A couple of nice suggestions in there I liked. I'll make use of a couple of them. I do have the tuner. I thought I had mentioned it, but I guess I wasn't clear on that. I do have an MFJ. I didn't want to take any rolls of wire. That was what I was trying, taking rolls of coax. There was a couple of suggestions in there that kind of interesting. Thank everybody, so I'll stand by to make any KF2ID.
Okay, very fine. Well, our next question comes from Mr. Harvey about headphones. Now, Harvey, you have, if I recall, an IC706, and it has that RJ45 connector. Brief, could you describe what you've done? I think what it is, if I recall, is that you bought yourself a short, flexible RJ45 straight-through jumper and a female-female connector so as to relieve the stress on your microphone cable, $90 stock microphone. I think that was the objective of the game. So why don't you describe what's not going right?
Oh, all right. There it goes, KC2AWX. This jumper cable with the RJ45 works perfect on 2 meters and 2 meter sideband. But on 10 meters, I was getting all kind of funny noises out of my radio. And I don't understand what the difference is and why it was doing that. Does it have to have a filter on it? Or someone give me a suggestion.
So it works fine on 2 meters but does not work on HF. Is that correct? That's basically the problem? And you think that maybe it's a filtering issue. What's your grounding situation like?
I have the back of the radio grounded with a 15-foot piece of wire going to my chain link fence.
Okay, so your ground is a chain link fence, basically?
That's right. I'm operating on a picnic table, a metal picnic table, in my backyard right now. So this is the problem. I have no idea how to correct it. But when I took this jumper off and hooked the 10-meter antenna on, it worked perfect.
Okay, very fine. Well, my thought is that you've got RF proximity issues. I think that's really what's going on here. I don't know. I'm going to defer to others who might have thoughts on this one. Maybe K2ZO, what is your impression based on the description from K2AR?
I didn't understand what the problem was.
Okay, if I understood the problem correctly, 2 meters is fine, single sideband and FM. When he goes on HF, it does all sorts of beeping and squeaking and howling, and I think it might be RF.
W4DSA comments?
Yeah, turn the box up.
W4DSA, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a veteran of the ICOM 706. I used to have a Mark 2G, and the same problem cropped up in many OA shape and form. Definitely RF feedback, and the best way to solve the problem is First of all, actually, Harvey's saying that he's using a chain link fence as a ground, which I think it might be contributing to the problem somewhat, just due to the fact that it might actually be reflecting some RF back into his radio. But second and more importantly is that the RJ45 connectors and the entire mic cable itself must be very well shielded, otherwise they will get all sorts of RF feedback into them.
Very good. Anybody else with a comment?
Now I understand the question. I had the same problem with the 480. Put a ferrite on the mic cable.
Mic cable. I found a very effective way to shield a cable externally is just get some household aluminum foil and wrap it around the cable. You can hold it in place with some scotch tape and make sure you've got one end of that aluminum foil grounded to the receiver. And that would give you an excellent shield for the mic cable. And that doesn't do it, it's something else, because no RF is going to just do that, get it to the ID.
Okay, we have it a triple, but I think here's what I got out of this. K2ZO recommends ferrites on that jumper. Harvey, based on what Jim is saying, I would make that whole 1 foot or whatever it is jumper one big ferrite, you know, bracelet, and that would probably help. Ben's suggestion, KF2ID's suggestion, is to take a piece of household aluminum foil, making sure that the chassis side is in fact grounded to said chassis. That's something to think about. And there was a third station with a suggestion. I didn't hear who that was. Who was that? This is double the K2BAR.
W2JK. I said that I thought the. I presume this was. This is what he's hearing in the headphones is during his transmit mode. He's getting the feedback. I was thinking, how far away he is from his antenna. Number one. Number two, the 15-foot length of wire to the chain link fence is about a half wavelength at 10 meters, so it might not be an effective ground. And I suggested using about an 8.5-foot piece of wire attached to the ground post of the radio itself as a acting as a counterpoint, so to speak. Maybe that would cool things down. Back to net, W2JK.
Okay, Don, your suggestion was good and in the clear, so a quarter wave attached to the chassis of the radio on 10 meters are proximity issues. Antenna and perhaps even the fence, which is more of a counterpoise than a ground, the truth for now, a non-resin counterpoise at that. So by putting in a resonant counterpoise, you might be better off. There was another station who doubled with you briefly at the beginning. Who was that, perhaps? This is K2BAR.
KC2KXV.
Vinny, KC2KXV, go ahead.
Roger, I was assuming that the mic jumper was Category 5, which in some iterations is not shielded. I was going to suggest go to Category 6E that has a shield.
A simple Cat 6E jumper might be a better choice, Harvey. I think that's the bottom line. You'll see Cat 6E. Good idea, Vinny. Anybody else?
Is that got all 8 wires?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. 2K.
8 wires. Anybody else with a question? Or a suggestion, I should say.
NS2K.
NS2K, go.
Okay, I'm just looking at the pinout of the microphone, and the pairing is completely wrong if you're using any Cat5, Cat6, Cat anything cable. The ground and PGT are a pair. The AF output and microphone input are a pair. That isn't going to work very well. So it's not a terribly good cable to use for that purpose. You'd probably do better to use, say, a flat, what I would call a satin wire, flat telephone wire with an 8-pin, if you can find an 8-pin wire for that. Or use an RJ45 connectors on a different kind of cable where you've got the shielding correct.
Yeah, I think that's a good point as well. And while it may be a pairing compromise, if it keeps it short enough, keeps the RF out, doesn't develop too much crosstalk and has the shielding that Vinny suggests by using Cat6E, he might get away with it for a short piece. I think that's the goal here, to see if that works. The other thing you can do, and I've done, is if you know what the pairing is in the Cat5 wire, you can actually snap your own connectors to it and you know, make better choices, if you will, like the ground and the audio shield, if you will, and the microphone lead could be one pair, et cetera, et cetera. You could go and redo it in a non-standard configuration from Catwire. If you have a crimp tool, you could certainly do that. God knows I've done that for other reasons, but this may be a special one. Any other suggestions? Boy, we've got a bounty of answers for this one. Okay. So, Harvey, there are your answers. Ferrites, aluminum grounded, a quarter wave off the chassis at 10 meters, about 8.5 feet. I'm going to add one. Put a ground stake right in the ground underneath where you're sitting, right through the patio if you can. Hi. Let's see. Another one is Cat5E, and if you can, use Cat5E and consider, if that doesn't work, then go crimp your own using careful pairings of the wires as Jim suggested. So there's your answer. Any Harvey, KC2AWX, KTBR.
Yeah, I think you guys solved my problem. I thank everyone. Yeah, now I understand that what it is. It's RF feedback. All right. It doesn't do it on the regular microphone or headset. So now I understand what the problem was. Thank you very much, gentlemen. KC2AWX.
I'd start with the shortest Cat5E jumper you can, Cat6 jumper you could find. Ferrite and then the ground. That's what I'd pick. If you get desperate, the shield, start drilling holes in your patio. All right, very fine. Our next question is from Vinny, KC2KXV. Another Jesuit-educated person. Messed up too, guys. Sorry. This is KTBR.
Roger, here's the question. I guess it's more of an open question. I'm in an apartment building in New York City, 14 stories. It currently has a vertical on it. And I'd like to get 20 meters. I've got a 6-meter loop and a vertical. Works fine. I'm going to take off the 2-meter loop. And I've purchased an Isotron antenna that looks a lot like a can opener on steroids. And I'm wondering, number one, experience with Isotron, if any. And also, my suspicion is there's going to be a lot of RF coming down the cable. It needs to go down two stories. And what is the likely RFI in a worst-case scenario if that were to occur?
Okay, can you describe what the Isotron basically is? What is it worked to be as an antenna?
It looks to be about a 2.5-foot horizontal pole with wire wound around it. It's hard to describe, but if you're by an internet connection, you may type in Isotron and go to the 20-meter antenna, and it has a reflective device on the end. It is so much of a Rube Goldberg antenna, I've never seen anything like it. So it's such a curiosity. I mean, at the end of the day, what I'm trying to do is have some kind of a 20-meter presence on a vertical on top of an apartment building without calling too much attention. And I was wondering if anybody has any experience either with Isotron A or B. If not, what might work effectively with a vertical on the same mast?
That's going to cost a lot more attention than a dipole.
That looked too ominous, because as I look out my window right now, if you remember New York City, I can see about 500 apartments, and they're all looking at me. So I was looking for something that was a very, very low profile, and this thing looks like it's, just a pole with a piece of wire wound around it.
WTJEK.
Don, go ahead.
Yeah, Vinny, one thought on that. If you can get a dipole, some way you can get a dipole up there, you don't have to have real thick wire. And and the so-called invisible antenna. Make a dipole out of maybe 2-gauge wire or even 18 or something like that. Very small insulators of clear plastic rod or something, and if you could put something like that up, it would work great, and you wouldn't have a lot of RF problems coming down. You could put a ballon right up there at the antenna site itself and then come down with coax. Might be beneficial to you that way. Be on 20, and you wouldn't have be a big thing that anybody but to see. And you've got some kind of a mast up there now, so you could just put this on the mast, possibly. I don't know exactly what you're dealing with, but that might be an answer to your question. Over.
Dacron or black parachute cord, and you don't need insulators. Insulators, it will take care of itself. I'm sure you know sheet bend, and you can tie out a sheet bend instead of an insulator and an element. Again.
Comment again.
Don, go ahead.
Yeah, Vinny, one other thought I had. The Isotron antenna, being a small antenna, is very limited in the what your bandwidth is, your SWR width. So it's going to, if you're tuned in for the bottom end of this phone band, let's say, you want to go up the top end, you're not going to have a good result. Or if you were going down in the CW band, you wouldn't have a good result if you tuned up for the phone band. It's a very narrow band with those small loop antennas. And the dipole runs rings around it. I mean, even if you do have a little bit of, even if it is it off a little bit, you could deal with that with a tuner down in the shack. But if you try to make one of these things work, and I think Jim K2ZO knows what happens when you have an antenna that isn't resonant. I was trying to operate QRP last year's field day with a 40-meter 2-watt rig into a double extended ZIP without a tuner. And everybody in 20 meters and 80 meters heard me as well. So, it would be good to have a resonant dipole for up there that would accept the RF easily. Back to net.
Okay, very good. Any other suggestions for Vinny? Okay, Vinny, KC2KXZ, KTBAR, your turn.
Roger. No, thanks. Thanks for all the help. Actually, I overlooked the fact that using light wire, and also overlooked the fact that shallow, narrow bandwidth plus RFI is going to be troublesome, especially when you got so many apartments. So, a word to the wise. I will keep you posted as we get up. It took me 2.5 years to get a vertical up here. Long story, so I have to proceed very carefully. So, thanks for all the help, and I'll be listening.
Just as a question, how far off the ground is the base of your vertical, the base of the roof?
Well, there's a 10-foot mast, and on top of the, bolted about 8 foot up on the mast is a Diamond 2000 that we're on right now, which is a terrific coverage, and then below it, below those radials, about 24 to 30 inches, there's a 6-meter squalo, which works very well, and then below that there is a 2-meter halo that works very poorly because it's an M squared, and I wanted to remove the that halo and put something at that point in the mast, so quite nicely perhaps I can use that to drape a folded dipole on either side of the roof with some very light wire. That might work.
Yeah, I'd make a fan dipole for 40 and 20 maybe. That might be something to think about. And just let your antenna tuner do the work of fixing any anomalies. And go find something to fan it out to, wall or whatever. Doesn't have to be much. Okay, very fine. Thank you, Vinny, for your question. Gary, you have a monitor scope that apparently is not clear or washed out. Sounds to me like a convergence problem, but why don't you briefly find your problem statement and see if we have volunteers to handle it. KB2LCA, KTBR. Your problem statement. It seems to me that the dot on the trace that you're getting on your monitor scope is blurry. It seemed to me that there are focus controls, mechanical and electrical, that can be brought to bear to, if you will, refine the quality of the trace. I don't know what model it is, but that might be something to think about. Just an electrical calibration, if that doesn't work, maybe mechanical calibration might clean out that not clear, washed out trace. The other thing is if it's not bright enough, although I think you indicated it was bright enough, but if it wasn't bright enough, there's probably an adjustment there to bring up the on the trace. That'd be my suggestion. I've got some people here who've got some experience with CRT. Anybody want to make comments on this problem and possible solution?
W2AKR repeater.
Okay, I'm going to pick on people. NS2K, what's your thought on this one?
Oh, good. NS2K. One of the questions is it focused or out of focus, vertically and horizontally the same as you rock back and forth the focus control? If you can get one but not the other, there's a control called astigmatism. The other thing that happens is if as the tube gets very old, it's hard to get enough brightness out of it, you might be able to crank the voltage up on the CRT to get a little bit more brightness out and still be able to focus it. But that's a classic problem with older scopes, is you just can't get brightness and focus at the same time.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Okay, anybody else with a comment?
Nope. What kind of monitor scope is
it? All right, Jim wanted to know what kind of monitor scope. Gary, what is the model of the scope? He's not making it. Who was the other station with a comment?
W4DSA.
W4DSA, go. W4DSA, go.
All right, I just wanted to make one other comment, is if it's one of the older ham scopes, it might actually be starting to suffer from bad electrolytic capacitors in the high voltage power supply section. That will definitely cause a change in the astigmatism and the focusability of the electron beam there.
I asked Gary for his model number, not for a dissertation. He's still talking. Gary, we can't hear you. You have to give, like, 5-second answers, nothing more. All right, we're going to go on. I think we've given our results. Next time someone talks to Gary, maybe we can give you still telling us what model number. Gary, it's got to be 5-second answers. We're not copying you. So the answers we have are look for an astigmatism adjustment, see if you can rock it back and forth, alignment, and see if fuzzy or washed out in the X-axis or Y-axis. The other is to see if you can crank the voltage on the trace, or if you will, the brightness of the trace. Usually causes an uptick in the voltage, or caused by an uptick in the voltage, which might help the washout a little bit. The other thing is, might look at the electrolytics in the high voltage supply for some adjustment. And finally, the CRT just may be old. Okay. KB2LCA, thank you very much. I'm sorry you're just not making the repeaters. So pretty much as much of the answers as I think we can give. Try it later with a better signal. Meantime, KC2IGJ, John, over to you with your question on filters.
K2PAR, this is KC2IGJ. My question is about filters. I've run into two terms that I'm really not familiar with. I understand high pass, low pass, band pass, but one of them was a suck-out filter. What is that? And the other is a roofing filter. Then I have a question based on what Don had suggested about the grounding for quarter wave on 10 meters. Is that, do you want to refresh my memory, is that to make a high impedance or a low impedance connection to the quarter wave? Back to him.
I'm going to defer all of this wonderful explanation to K2 Zed. Suck-out filter, ever popular. What's
okay. This is K2 Zed. A suck-out filter is used to do just what it says, to suck out a signal. And it usually consists of a tuned line. For example, let's say in the old days broadcast, when you had interference from another strong station in your FM receiver, you could cut a piece of twin lead and make a suck-out filter. And it would be tuned to the frequency of the offending station and therefore suck it out from the signal that you were hearing. It also can be used to knock out a second harmonic on, say, a 6-meter transmitter using the same technique.
And it should be how long electrically?
Quarter wave.
And it should be terminated at the far end or open?
It should be open.
Okay. Those are the things people don't know. So quarter wave, open.
Everybody knows that.
That's the answer for that. For the suck out, or if you will, a trap type filter. Roofing filter, Jim.
A roofing filter is a filter normally used in a receiver. And that narrows the band pass way in the front end of the receiver so that it avoids problems. High-end transceivers have roofing filters which are very narrow, and they're at the high IF, like 70 megahertz or so, so that by the time the signal gets way down and is processed, you don't have any strong adjacent signals coming through to cause a problem. And that's what a roofing filter does, and you'll see it referenced in most high-end transceivers.
And I think we've answered the question about the quarter wave. Well, but I'm going to Don. Do you have any questions, or do you want to refer?
I appreciate the answers. Now, on the quarter wave thing, talking about transmission lines, when you talk about whether it should be open or shorted, but a piece of copper wire banged into the ground, I mean, is that a transmission line?
No, okay, so you're looking for a quarter-wave radial, is that what you're trying to do?
Don suggested to Harvey, I think it was that he might have hit about 16 feet of wire at the ground, and that 10 meters, that would be a half-wave length, it would be a no-no. So he suggested a quarter-wave length, so I'm wondering, make it a quarter-wave length for what reason, I guess is the ultimate question, why do that?
To offer what they call an electrical ground, not a DC ground, counterpoise to the...
Is this something similar to bypassing a emitter resistor so that you have an AC ground, that kind of a thing?
Not really. Do you want to comment about that?
This is W2JEK.
Don, go right ahead.
Yeah, okay, John, as much as I brought the subject up, basically what I'm trying to do is cool off his transmitter chassis. He's not grounding it properly with the, let's assume he's not grounding it properly with that 15 feet of wire going to the chain link fence. He needs something to make it look like it's at ground potential, RF-wise, not DC-wise. That's what the quarter wave wire will do. You can attach your wire that's about 8.5 feet long to this chassis and just string it out someplace, and be careful that the bare end of the insulated wire is not touching anything. And that should cool his chassis off and act like... I have a similar thing in my cellar. I have an antenna tuner, an L network, just a homebrew thing, and I use that on several bands. And it wasn't tuning up right on 10 meters. And I took a strung an 8.5 foot piece of wire in my beams in my cellar,
acted like a counterpoise, and that fixed the problem. Back to net.
Okay, very fine. We also had a comment for John's question.
KF2ID. First of all, the comment on the roofing filter, the explanation given was that another way of looking at the roofing filter is a special application of a sharp bandpass filter. So what it is, it's a bandpass filter with specifically put into the front end of the receiver, and it has very sharp skirts. So if you know what a bandpass filter is, you essentially know what a roofing filter is. Application is special. The sucking filter, again, is a filter, I guess, I'm trying to look at the words, but it, I can't use the words right now, but, oh, sorry, late. I know what I'm thinking of, but I just can't look at the words. But anyways, I get, maybe I'll come to my mind. The counterpoise is a quarter wave, and a quarter wave antenna fed from the one end is a very low impedance device. So what that does is you essentially provided yourself with a quarter wave antenna connected to the chassis, and now the RF, instead of being radiated into, instead of running up and down the wires, is now radiating out of that quarter wave counterpoise, and it's a very low impedance device. So that eliminates your RF, removes it from the chassis. The sucking filter again. Oh God! All right, sorry, gentlemen. My mind's a little slow here. I know the words. I know what I'm talking. I know what I want to say, but I just can't remember it. All right. With that, I'll return it back to K2BAR.
Okay, that's fine. I think we've gotten it. John, any comments from you? KC2IGJ, K2BAR.
No, I think that's got it straight. That we're talking about a notch filter, a band reject. Is that correct?
Actually, sorry, for the roofing filter, no, it's a bandpass filter. It's a bandpass filter. It's just used at a high IF frequency, and, you know, it's no different than, let's say, the 9 megahertz or 10 megahertz filter, except that it's of high quality and operates at, let's say, 70 megahertz, which is usually a high IF, because a lot of these modern radios use upshifting into the first IF out of the first mixer, okay?
Okay, but a suck-out filter is a notch filter or band reject, correct?
Not band reject, it would be a notch.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. Well, Vinny, radio at vinnyvision.com, I got a DNS error, so I've got an issue there. Maybe someone else who did get the last package could forward to radio at vinnyvision.com. Vinny could have the package. And start on this, let me hear any other questions, comments from that before we start on the package.
KB2LCA.
Gary, you have a signal.
Okay. It has a brightness and focus, if that's fine. And as I increase the power into it, the modulation gets quieter.
Okay, you don't have a signal anymore.
Not that it works. I can see the signal cycling. I can see the waves, but the waves in green and the and how it modulates, like from like a pin to say 2.5 inches wide, it's all green in there, and it just get washed out.
Okay, you were largely not copyable during most of that transmission. Does anybody have any comments for Gary at this point?
What kind of emissions was he running?
Gary?
I was a CW and sideband. I tried both. I lowered the power. I increased the power. There's a attenuation in the back, but the signal just gets gets, you know, you can see it cycled, you can see the waves, but it just gets washed out in the background. The waves shown are green, and as it's modulated, it gets to about from like nothing to about 2.5 inches wide, but it that's green also, so it gets like washed out. There's no definition.
Jim?
I don't know, maybe you got a bad CRT. I don't know what kind of monitor scope you have. I don't know how you have it hooked up, XY or whatever, but when you send a string of dots, what do you see on the screen? A string of dots?
Excuse me. If I whistle into it, it modulates, it gets wide. If I send CW through there, it gets wide. It's all about, well, the CW signal is about 2.5 inches wide, and as high as I could whistle, it goes, you know, it expands horizontally. I mean, it expands vertically. But I don't know if I'm, did I answer your question?
No. When you send a series of dots, can you adjust the monitor scope so that you have a fixed series of dots, dashes or dots, going across the screen? Rectangles, one after another, on the green lines.
Oh, the answer is no. I don't know if you heard that.
Then you don't have it adjusted correctly.
Well, I did it all kinds of ways, and I still can't get it.